tape.
Hello, this is Bill Winston, and the teaching today is Living in the Supernatural. Now, today we're going to talk about answered prayer. Now, prayer is one of the key ingredients for God to be able to move in or through our lives to get work done here in this earth or things done that we need done in our lives. Prayer is the key. And a lot of people have come and gotten born again or whatever, but really don't know how to pray. So they have to go to other people. Can you pray for me? Or I sure hope God does this and so forth. But there are ways that we can be certain as to what can happen in our lives and have something to say about our circumstances. And prayer is the key. So I know in our lives, in this ministry, it's backed by prayer. The way we got things done was by prayer. And when we had just an efficiency apartment here in the Chicagoland area and just starting our ministry, every morning I got up to pray. It was too small in that little single room to pray, so I went outside on the football field and marched and prayed. But look what God is doing, because he said, you pray in secret, I'll reward you openly. So when you're talking about supernatural, I'm talking about another level outside of the natural level. And prayer is something that you do outside of the level of the natural. Now, you see the results in the natural realm, but prayer is the way you get there. Now, also the fact of prayer is that prayer is a interesting thing that God has given us, not to be a scattershot. You know what I mean by that? It means that not just throwing something up and hoping we hit it, you know? It's not like that. Prayer is very specific. It's a single-shot deal that once you pray, you know something happened. Now, if you know something happened, you'd rest in that. You wouldn't be anxious about it, or you wouldn't be trying to pray the same thing over again or whatever. No, prayer is something that's very specific, very powerful, and very certain. It guarantees God to move in your life. The one thing the enemy hates is God's people learning how to pray. Because when you learn how to pray, you can absolutely stop the enemy right in his tracks. Now, let's pray and we'll get into that teaching. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the anointing that's on me and these lips of clay, that I may speak forth this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness, asking you now to think through my mind, speak through my lips, that this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. Now we give you the praise and pray for signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm the word preached. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's start here at Galatians chapter 3. And I'll start Galatians chapter 3 and starting at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Powerful, powerful teaching. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, God has plans to bless his people, and that these things that God has for us, the promises, they're not automatic. They're something that we have to do to participate in these things coming into our lives. And one of the things that God did in terms of prayer, he taught over in Mark 11, verse 24. If you'll go over there, Mark 11, verse 24, he talks about things desired. And he says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, that believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now, this is a way of answered prayer manifesting in our lives. We've got to believe we've received something when we pray. Now, it didn't say feel, or it didn't say no, it didn't say whatever other words might be used, but it says only believe. Now, another way of saying that same scripture, I wrote it down, in Richard Francis Weymouth's translation is this: "That is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours." If you believe that you have received it. Now, you're going to have to go outside the senses on that deal. Now you're getting up into a place of the supernatural. This is not natural anymore, because I've got to leave the five physical senses, the eye, ear, nose, taste, and smell. I've got to leave that. I've got to go beyond, over into a place that I can't touch or taste or smell or anything. It's over there. So I've got to go over there. But that's where prayer is answered. Now, the thing about getting over there and getting into that supernatural, now you're going up to this miracle realm. Now you're going to see things now manifested that you prayed for, perhaps in secret, and seeing them manifest in the natural. And that's how powerful prayer is. I mean, this is one of the things, like I said, the enemy fears is when somebody gets down on their knees or stands up or lifts their hands up to pray. I mean, something is about to happen. Now, this, we've been talking about walking in, living in the supernatural. And in living in the supernatural, we said that religion has come and tried to overshadow the supernatural, because that's what religion does. For the most part, it's a spirit. And it comes to try to bring people out of that supernatural realm or make it so that the supernatural won't happen. Now, one of the things about religion we talked about is religion always establishes boundaries in our lives. In other words, it's always kind of confirming what you can't do. It doesn't ever talk about what you can do, but it brings things into our lives that are confines. In other words, the war is over containment. It's over holding us back. And one of the ways that we get into that is through reasoning. Because once you start dealing with miracles, you have just crossed out or gone beyond the natural reasoning realm. Over in a scripture, I'd like you to turn there, and if you keep your place there at Mark chapter 11, but go over to Exodus in Exodus chapter 4. Now, God speaks something to Moses over here in Exodus chapter 4, and in verse 17, he says, "And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." Now, in other words, for signs, of course, signs and wonders or miracles. So you're going to take this rod in your hand, and it's not going to be a stick anymore, but it's going to be something that you're going to do signs with. So now notice what God knows. He knows that when he sends Moses down to talk to Pharaoh to let thy people go, Pharaoh is going to want to ask, he's going to ask him to do a miracle. He knows that the enemy, Satan fears that supernatural realm. He fears the miracle working realm. Remember over in the book of Acts when the miracle was done where this particular man was crippled from his birth, and he had never walked. And then Peter and John passing by, going to the temple in the hour of prayer, they were going there, and the man asked for alms, as the poor would ask for something, money or whatever. And they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man jumped up, they grabbed him by the hand, he leaped and walked. Now, everybody was astonished at that. And then the religious people came in on him, because the enemy hates evidence. Because this evidence is proof. It's proof that what you're speaking is true. It's proof that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. It is proof now that there is a power working beyond the power of somebody's natural mind. I mean, I remember what really affected me is when I went and saw a man on the north side of Chicago and the power of God and miracles taking place. Man, hey, there's something I don't know here. And so it really attracted my attention. But that wasn't all. I had to be convinced on the inside. It helped to shift my believing, and I believe and got saved or got filled with the Holy Ghost and got healed in that same place, so forth and so on. I'm talking about supernaturally now, overnight. It happened in one service. So I'm saying that's what happens to us. So God now is speaking about his church. And Jesus is prophesying about the church becoming a house of prayer. Let's go over there to Matthew's gospel in chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Now, over here, Jesus, it says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12, and Jesus went up into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, in the house, and he healed them. Now, it's interesting here. Notice there's a power that should be in the house of God, and that people in the house of God should be people of prayer and should be believers, because God wants it so that when the sinner or the unbeliever does come, that they will experience a power that will convince them that there's something that they are missing, something that they need to have, that salvation is in this place, so forth and so on. And let me tell you, signs and wonders and miracles are something that God's people should and must get back to. This is what was happening in the early church. At one place, they got 3,000 saved. The next time, they got 5,000 saved. Now, I'm talking about with signs and wonders and miracles. I'm not talking about, boy, we sure hope we get somebody saved this Sunday. I'm not talking about that. You see, I don't believe God ever meant for this much word to go forth without miracles. He never meant for this much to be preached without a demonstration. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. My speech and my preaching are not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that their faith shall not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, many times we've been trying to argue people in the kingdom. Hey, why don't we demonstrate them in the kingdom? Another thing about religion is that, you remember, if you look at the tongue of a snake, it's split. And the Indians used to have an expression. They said, you speak it with forked tongue. Well, that forked tongue has to do with somebody who is not telling the truth. A forked tongue. You go in both ways. And it's not just a blatant lie, but it's also having to do with truth, some truth, but mostly a lie. And so the enemy uses that, again, as a part of religion to try to keep us where we are and keep us from rising to the supernatural. Another thing is that this prayer and who to pray to. Jesus talks about it over in John, in John's gospel. And in John chapter 16, he says this. He says, verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Now, this is saying that we ask the Father. We ask the Father. We pray to the Father. Now, another place you can find that is over in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is actually teaching on prayer, the principle of prayer. And look what it says here. He says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Now, notice he said, again, you pray to the Father. Now, I'm saying that because some religions may teach you pray to an object, or you pray to the Virgin, or you pray somewhere. But this is telling me I'm praying to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, he is my Father, so I'm praying to him. That's petition prayer. and praying to him, petitioning him for something that I need in my life or in somebody else's life. So that's the way I'm going to pray. Now, this is supernatural because I can't pray to a statue standing up here. That's not the deal. And I can't pray to some virgin that hopefully she'll pray to the Lord for me. That is not scripture. Now, I'm not coming down or coming against anybody's religion. What I'm telling you is what we need to do now is get the supernatural back in the church. And the way we can get it back in the church is get the truth back in the church. And when the truth comes in, God confirms his word with signs following. Now, the other thing is that the supernatural is outside of this realm of religion, because religion is always looking for a feeling, meaning that when you do pray, you're praying beyond your feelings. Now, let's look at a prayer that is offered and see how this works. Let's go over to 1 John, and over in 1 John, we'll look at chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, it says this. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petition that we desired of him. Now, the will of God is in the word of God. So I've got the word of God here, so I've got to ask according to his will. Now, if you're talking about the problem, he knows the problem. Now, the way that I know that he knows the problem is that he said he knows the problem. And that's found over here again in Matthew's gospel and chapter 6. It says in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, or go somewhere where you're not conspicuous or whatever have you. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Watch this next verse. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Wow. They think that they're going to be heard because they said it many times. So some people make a long prayer, you know what I mean? And they think because they prayed a long time or said the same thing over and over again, God heard them. But that's not faith. You got to go beyond your feeling. You got to go beyond this reasoning here, this natural reasoning. And you got to go into this place where you can't feel it, touch it, taste, smell it. And let me tell you, for most of the saints, they're not willing to go there. No. Because that means that you're going to have to trust God. Now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and just see this and see how there's no feeling in it. But if you just follow the process, you can get results. Look what it says here. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, the will of God is the word of God. So if I come in here, find out the word of God, I'm going to ask according to the word of God. Now, he knows what I have need of before I ask. So I'm not trying to let him know what the situation is and tell him how bad things are. Oh, Lord, you just don't know what he's got to respond to your situation, but he needs you to deliver him his word. You need to give him his promise because he cannot deny himself. So you need to give him that. And that's awkward for many people who don't understand how God works or how faith works because they want to tell the problem. Faith is positive, folks. Faith tells him the answer. Faith brings before him his promise. Now, once you do that, it says you got to make sure that it's in the book. You can't pray outside and out of line with the word of God. Then the next thing is you got to understand, you got to believe you received it when you pray. That's the will of God. I've got to believe I've received it when I prayed. Not after I prayed. When I prayed. Okay? Now, look what it says in verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. So, how do I know I have it? How do I know I have it? According to this right here. I ask according to his will. Well, wait a minute. What happened when I ask according to his will? He heard me. Oh, he heard me, huh? I see. Okay, now, because he heard me, then I know I have what I've asked for. Now, do I have it in my hands tangibly yet? No. But I know I have it supernaturally. It's coming from another realm. And it's coming into my life. But I've got to use my faith and not lose confidence while it's making this transfer into this natural three-dimensional world that it didn't happen. I don't want to entertain that thought at all. And let me tell you, that's the next thought that comes. Ha, didn't happen. Didn't happen. Do you see it? Ha, do you feel any better? Let me just ask you. Look at your financial situation. Is it any better? No. So what I've got to do, I've got to stand. Now, when I've done all that I can do to stand, I got to keep standing. I got to stay right there. One man says till hell freezes over. And I don't think that's going to happen. But he says, stand. He said, you know, it's an interesting thing. He says, when I make up my mind that I'm going to stand as long as it takes to get this done, he said, every time I'm not standing long. That's amazing. It's amazing how the enemy tries to put pressure on people because he knows certain people have not the discipline it takes to just stand. Now, hold it. He didn't say run the marathon, the 26-mile marathon. He said, just stand. Just stand. Just thank God for it. It's two things I think that the believers learn to pray most often. One is help. The other one is thanks. You know, oh, thank you, Lord, you know. And the other one is, Lord, help me. Now, that's all right because that's a prayer. You remember when Peter was walking on the water and then he got his eyes off Jesus, began to sink? He cried, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. That's a short prayer. But look what God did. He helped him. My point to you is that this doesn't have to be technical, folks. And a lot of times people think because they don't have the flowery language and all of that, that this thing doesn't happen. I wish you'd watch some of these kids that pray and see the simple prayers that they pray. They don't know all these fundamentals and so forth, but they got that childlike faith. And do you know, I have seen God move, the power of God in their situation, their family. They've brought family situations. I've had them to pray, boom, instantly. Power of God works in that family to heal that situation. Now, my point to you is they don't have time for religion. They haven't been taught religion. They haven't been taught how many days they got to pray the same thing over again and so forth and so on. They haven't taught about that. They just ask the Father, you see? Now, as we look at this, look at Ephesians and chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that's the real enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people. People in cases are used, but it's the enemy, the culprit, that's behind it. Now, religion tries to get people to go against people, and religion kills folks. You know, it's something that focuses in on the natural part. Now, let me give you a key that keeps me where I should be there. This realm that we're going to be dealing with is a realm of the supernatural. It's a realm of the invisible. So you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to believe something that you can't see, and you're going to have to war with something that you can't feel. You know what I mean? I mean, the enemy is out there. And those demons are out there. I mean, in the skies, they're out there. So you got to war with them. And you've got to have the confidence that if you speak certain things or follow God's rule in prayer, that you're going to be an overcomer. All right? Now, let me show you in John chapter 11. This is when Jesus was told that his friend Lazarus had died. Now, once he was told that, he then stayed where he was a couple more days, and he started praying, of course. That's the way Jesus operated. And now Jesus gets to the tomb. And once he gets to the tomb, and Martha said this in verse 21, "If thou had been here, my brother would not have died." So now she is saying, if you just come earlier when they told you or when they so forth, if you just gotten here earlier, he wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, he'll give it to you. Now, that's a principle, that whatever you ask God for in line with his will, he'll give it to you. Look at verse 23. And Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So I know he'll rise again in time. But if you're ever dealing with the prayer of faith, there is no time. You have to believe you receive when you pray. If you put time in there, you've just violated the law of faith. So you've got to believe you receive the moment you pray. That means when you pray, you believe you received it. Now look what it says. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believe thou this? Do you believe this? All right. Now, so now here's Jesus. He's approaching the gravesite. Verse 39. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he's stinking, for he has been dead 4 days." Now, they didn't have embalming for him, so he'd been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Said I not unto thee, if you would believe, you'll see the glory of God?" Now, that's another principle. If you just believe, you'll see the glory of God. Now, we're talking about living in the supernatural now. We're not talking about the supernatural as an event. We're not talking about just every now and then. We're talking about everywhere you go, there's going to be a call for your life for the supernatural. One might be prayer. One might be decreeing a thing. One might be whatever you do, lay hands on the sick, whatever. So I'm just saying living in the supernatural. Look what it says here. Verse 41. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid." Now, Jesus is putting his whole ministry on the line right there. "And Jesus lifted up his eyes. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Now, he didn't get down on his knees, did he? He didn't clutch his fingers, okay? He didn't close his eyes real tight and so forth. Now, you can do all of that, but that's not what makes prayer work. What makes prayer work is faith. So there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I've been taught that when I was a little kid and so forth and so on. But suppose you don't have time to do that. I mean, I prayed on the run, you know what I mean? And so look what it says here. He lifted up his eyes, see, all right, and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me." Wow. "I thank you that you've heard me." Verse 42. "And I know that you hear me always." Well, how did he know he heard him? Because he always prayed the will of God. And I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of believers that have not been seeing results because we've been trying to bring God down to a natural level. We've been trying to feel him. We've been trying to expect this work because we felt it and got goosebumps or heard three dogs bark the Star-Spangled Banner at midnight. Whatever it is we need. We don't need any of that. We know he heard us because we prayed his will. Now, the earth has got to change. The word of God is what God used and said, "Let there be light." And folks, boom, light was. "Let there be firmament. Let there be trees." Notice, the earth was dark and there was nothing. You can take the word of God and pray the word of God into your situation and it will change. It'll have to change. If it won't change, the word, then you didn't pray the word of God. And I'm telling you right now, prayer is guaranteed. is not something that's a scattershot. It's not some, boy, I sure hope this works. The only reason it's that is because there's no confidence in God. The confidence is still in your circumstances or what you see with your eyes or what you can feel and reason with your mind or feel with your flesh. You've got to put the confidence in God. God is a spirit, folks, and spirit has dominion over every natural thing. Look how Jesus worked. Look over this. This is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Go over there and look at that real quick. Praise God. Now, I know I'm preaching to you now, but that's what you're supposed to get. You're supposed to get this. Why? Because we got some prayer for nations that we got to do. We got to pray for some leaders that are in positions that maybe that their minds have been perverted and twisted, and we need to pray the God's word back into them now and so forth and so on. We need to pray so the people on the Supreme Court benches, Father, would make right decisions for this nation and so forth. We need to pray for people who are companies for the saints that are starting companies and the enemy has been assaulting them. We need to pray. I'm talking about all of this because a whole house is backed by prayer. The prayer is the very root of the key ingredient to success in these days. When somebody has failed or a company or a ministry has failed, you can root it back to a prayer failure. Somehow, somebody didn't unlock that door with prayer. And if you're going to go somewhere, I'm going from California to New York. If I'm going on a train, I better have some track. Because that powerful locomotive is not just going to run on the dirt. You need some track. And prayer is the track for the God's power to move to your situation. So that's what we do. Praise God. I'm talking about the supernatural now. So now look what it says here. This is Matthew chapter 26. And look at verse 52. This is the confidence that Jesus had in prayer. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again your sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now, he's not talking about people who are in war and so forth like that. He's talking about people who are using the sword in a criminal way or whatever have you. Look what it says in verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. Talking about supernatural. Praise God. Woo-hoo-wee. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that Jesus knew the power of prayer. He knew how to use it. He knew that if he could just, all he had to do was pray to the Father. And the Father sent 12 legions of angels. Folks, a legion is anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So you multiply 3 or 6,000 times 12, praise God. And 6 times 12 is what? 72. 72,000 angels will be right down there by his side. How can you walk in any fear, any anxiety, any of that, if you know all you got to do is pray? You got it? Well, there's no confidence in prayer. Somehow we've let that slip. And folks, I'm telling you, I really believe that my grandmother and great-grand, all those people, they knew something about prayer. And when you know God is with you and all you have to do is pray or whatever have you, then I tell you, you can walk in a peace that you never had before. The anxiety will be gone. You won't even think like you used to think. Think about it. All you gotta do is pray, and the Father will send 72,000 angels. We're gonna have to go to the supernatural, and prayer is the way you get there. Now, the last place I wanna take you to is I wanna take you over to 2 Kings in chapter 6. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, we're still talking about the supernatural now. Now, understand, all this was with Adam, because Adam had an ability to operate in both realms, both the natural and the supernatural realm. And Adam could discern things. Adam get revelation and so forth and so on. He was really functioning there. If you want to look at how Adam functioned or how Adam lived, basically you could look at Jesus' life because Jesus is kind of showing us how Adam lived. But as we look at this, notice Adam, God blessed him and told him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over everything. So now Adam is going to be the master or the ruler over this earth. And you and I are the same way. We have authority here. So when God wants to do things in this earth, a desire to do things, he has to work through a person. Why? Because he turned it over to mankind. So he has to work through a person to get things done. So when you pray the will of God in the earth for a situation, it's not you that thought of that. God thought of that, you know, before even the foundation of the earth was even here. Why? Because he wants every place in this earth to be according to it as it is in heaven. So this is something God wants to do or desires to do, but he has to do it through a person. So he gives you the authority to speak things, but to speak things, you should source them out of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is the best guide that we can have and teacher that we can have to teach us what to say and what to do. This is a time when the prophet Elisha and his servant Gehazi were surrounded by the Syrian soldiers. So once now they are surrounded, the servant Gehazi came out and noticed that they were surrounded, and he said, oh, we're panicking, what are we going to do now, so forth. In other words, no hope. No hope. Now, that might be in somebody's life, you listen to me right now, because according to your limited brain reasoning, you have no hope. But remember now, you're not going outside of your head yet. You've got no hope. Maybe you've talked to a physician, like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. She had no hope. Now, but if you go in God's word, the first thing you'll find is hope. Because that's what he's got to do, keep hope alive and keep hope up in your life. You've heard people say, don't get your hopes up. Get them up as high as you can get them. Praise God. I'm telling you, because you can't get it up too high for God. He can meet you at whatever level your hope and your faith is. Look what it says here. It says, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen up early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they would be with them. Now, I want to show you this because fear came in when Adam sinned in the garden. Once he sinned, fear came in. Now, once fear came in, it negated faith and it made it so that he was limited to what he could think or do in his own flesh. So we got to get fear out so it'll release us to unlimited opportunities or unlimited possibilities. So fear has got to get out. So fear not. I don't care what they just said. Fear not. Now, Adam was interesting, by the way. You know, once he sinned, you know, he lived another 900 years or so. And the idea about it is he didn't know how to die. See, death was not a word to him. He didn't know anything about that. He didn't know how to die. He didn't use language to kill himself. It took a long time for the devil to be able to try to give him instructions on how to die. You know what I mean? He didn't know how. See, that's why he's living. I mean, I know today we got a lot of things and we claim that these things, you know, they're rooted in the fact that, oh, this person didn't do that, or we've got global warming now and so forth. But the reason why man started dying earlier and earlier and earlier is because his tongue. Death and life are one place in the power of the tongue. And so Adam had to talk himself to death, you see. And notice people do that today. I'm dying to go. Man, yeah, I'm dead. You killing me. You follow what I'm saying? Notice all the death in our speech. We got to get it out. So now in here, fear not, because that fear brings that, again, that entertainment of death and what's going to happen to me in my life. He said, there be more with us than be with them. Now, he's talking about angels now. Same kind of thing Jesus had in his life, same thing you have in your life if you just open your eyes and walk by faith. Look what it says here, and it says in verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Now, notice what he didn't say. If it be thy will, open his eyes. No, it is the will of God that we see the invisible. That's the will of God. It really is. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18? While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that we see are temporal, subject to change. Everything you can see is subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal. They're not subject to change. And whatever's in your situation, whatever's in your circumstances, whatever's bothering you, whatever so forth and so on, is subject to change. Now, how do we do that? Through some prayer. Look what it says here. And he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Notice, he wasn't waiting on God. God was waiting on him. Elisha had to pray. You see, the authority for something being done comes from right here. In other words, God has the overall authority because it's the will of God. But we have to initiate it out of here. Now, most of our prompting comes from the Holy Ghost. I understand that. But let me tell you, a lot of people waiting on God, and God is waiting on you. See, when you have an adverse situation in your life, I'm talking about impossible. Guess what you can do now? Pray. Praise God. And when you pray, something is going to happen. God will come in to that impossible situation and turn it totally around because you are now living in the supernatural. One moment you were in trouble. The next moment, not only were you free, but you were on top. Praise God. Well, that's all we have. This is Bill Winston saying we love you and keep walking by faith.
You guys learned something this morning.